Welcome to self-publishing for writers who want to make it big. I think every writer would love it if his or her work made it out there. So we're going to talk about that today. I am John Fisk. I have published 5 books, and some of them have been big, some of them haven't. We have a panel here, Meg Wasmer. She is the manager of Cabot Street Books and Cards in Beverly.
Yep.
Where copies of my books are for sale. Jim DeLay is a self-published writer and author who lives on Cape Cod. And furthest over to my left is Brinonia Barry, a writer from Salem. And her book, The Lace Reader, started as a self-published book, but then was picked up along the way. She'll talk about that. She knows the story. I don't. But I just want to say welcome and thank you for coming. I think this is my first time to Boston Book Festival. It's amazing. I really like the energy that I'm seeing out there in Copley Square and that I'm seeing in the forums. It's just a really good thing, and it's one of the things that makes Boston such a great place. So anyway, welcome, thank you for coming. We have a lot of ideas on how to make it big as a self-publisher. I've published 5 books. I'm learning and growing and still writing. My real purpose as a self-publisher is to have my voice be heard. We have the First Amendment right to speak freely, and I have been. Someone I know, an independent book and music publicist who lives in Cambridge, said to me a couple of years ago, there's no reason not to self-publish. And what she meant to say is that the self-publishing industry has evolved and that there's no technical impediment. And that self-publishing is not stigmatized anymore. And I say, since when has it been considered uncouth to speak freely? The self-publishing writer lets writers and authors bring their work to the public in just a few weeks or months, rather than the typical 18 to 24 months that traditional publishers require. And publishing your own book is easy. It's the hard part is selling it, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's so easy to self-publish your own book that according to Bowker, which is the ISBN registry or the guardian of our ISBNs, 727,000 titles were self-published in the U.S. last year. Yay. So the hard part is to cut through the noise. You know what it's like to be heard at a crowded cocktail party. Your voice becomes hoarse. Imagine a party of 727,000. Brinonia, Jim, and Mike have good perspectives and advice. I will let them introduce themselves. We'll start taking questions sort of halfway through, because we want to be able to respond to your questions, and so that when you leave here, you have ideas. So let's begin. Meg, can you introduce yourself?
Meg, I have been a bookseller for 11 years now. I started Big Box. I've gone indie since then. Hi.
Jim,
I'm Jim DeLay, and I've been a writer for most of my life, I guess. Worked for Life magazine for many years as a correspondent and a writer, editor, so forth. Started a company a couple of years ago where we taught writing in companies. And finally decided to put together some of the ideas that I've been thinking about for many years into some kind of book, which I just started for my own amusement. Over the years, I've had four different book contracts, books I never finished, for one reason or another, family, money, whatever else. But they were all books that were assigned to me by publishers. I didn't think of them myself. And I think that was probably my problem with it, that it was someone else's idea rather than my own. So finally, when I decided that I should put some of my real ideas together into some kind of book form, first of all, went the standard route, going to the agent publisher routine, and I thought it would be easy actually because I had had the other contracts, and I had some kind of history of success in humor writing and so forth, and but I discovered that the agents that I tried to approach were all new people. Nobody was left that working that who had given me assignments before, so it was like starting all over again. And after going through perhaps 50 rejections, after a while, a person could get very tired of being rejected. So after about 50 of those things, I decided that maybe I should just try to put it together and see where it would take me, which is what I did. First thing you have to do, of course, is to finish the book. You can't sell anything until you've written it. And I finished it, and editing is critically important. You've got to have people edit your stuff. You cannot edit your own things. I went through that whole process. It took me 2 years to write it. And this is a book it's a novel about neighborhood. And what I wanted to do, and what I had always wanted to do with that idea, was to create a microcosm of life all in one little packaged area of a neighborhood and see as many different kinds of things. And the vehicle that I decided to use was home invasion, which is a kind of thing that would terrorize a lot of people who, having what they owned or what they are taken away from them. And I did an 85,000 word book, and then what do you do with it? Well, since I had been rejected by agents and therefore by publishers, I really had nowhere to go except to try to do it on my own. Now, the idea of self-publishing, it seems to me, is a misnomer. You don't publish the whole thing yourself. I mean, you can't do it that way. You just don't know enough. So I discovered that I had to, there are three elements of it. The first one, of course, is the product itself. The product has to be good, otherwise it's not going to sell anywhere. So whether you're writing something for your own resume or whether you're writing something to improve your business or you're writing something just to get an idea out, you have to do the best you can with it, and nothing short of that. And you really do have to have other people look at it, edit it, criticize it, and let you know all the things you're doing wrong. I did a lot of things wrong along the way, and I was very fortunate to have a very good editor who helped me and showed me places, not just grammatical problems and that sort of thing, but where characters were not holding their own, or where characters were not being as thoughtful as they should be. My treatment of them was not as thoughtful, and a lot of different kinds of ideas. So then, after I finished it, I discovered that there are professional people who can help you go through all the different aspects of the production process. And one thing that anybody who tries to do self-publishing should know is this is not cheap. Certainly isn't free. If you try to design a book cover and interior design and take it all through the publishing process, you would create a mess. And you really do need the help of a professional to be able to do it. I was lucky enough to find a guy in Virginia who did the whole package for me. He took my finished product, my edited finished product, created covers, interior design, brought it through the whole Amazon production process and delivered everything, you know, finished. And it cost me $2,000, which is probably about as cheap as I could have done it. After that, I had a book. I had a book in on Amazon and in Kindle. I had a book in a soft cover book produced by Amazon's CreateSpace group. And what do you do with it then? I also got a small number of hardcover copies done for additional costs, and because I wanted to have some. But I'm still sitting out there on my own with, you know, this book. And what do you do with it? It seems to me that now comes the hard part. You got to market it.
So, Jim, let's...
You want to cut me short?
Well, let's say marketing, because that's the biggest part of what we have to do. Let's save that, and let's hear from Brunonia. Because her story is very different from Jim's and mine. Let us know
Barry, and I have written four books, one I just turned in. But the first book was called The Lace Reader. And I came from the software publishing industry, not books, although I'd always wanted to write a novel. And I'd even tried screenwriting before that, not with much success. But I spent some time working on a manuscript. And my husband and I had a company called Smart Games, and we were lucky enough to be picked up by Hasbro. So I had, and I was in charge of sales and marketing, so I had some time on my hands. So I decided to finish my book at long last. I think I was in my 50s at the time. And so I did, and that was a 7-year process altogether. But at the end of it, my husband and I decided we would become, instead of software publishers, which was taken, you know, over by someone else, we'd become book publishers. And we said to ourselves, how hard could it be? Never say that to yourself. So it was very hard. We found at the time the stigma was still there. This was 2007. And, you know, social media didn't exist in the way it does now. And so we learned as we went. Luckily, we got in touch with some very helpful people. We hired an editor from New York who was a freelance editor for some of the big houses. And the book that I'd written was set in Salem, Mass. And there were, of course, some witches in it because it's Salem, Mass. And so I was really lucky with the editor was a Druid high priestess. So there was the first bit of luck. So she corrected me on a lot of things I had gotten a little wrong about Salem. And the next thing we did was we had to find a distributor because we had to print real books and get them out to bookstores. And in order to do that at that time, we went to our local bookstore, which is associated with Meg's Spirit of 76 in Marblehead. And I went in with loose pages and a box and said, could you get one of your many book clubs to read my fledgling novel? And they kind of rolled their eyes a bit. Not really, but they were very nice. But they took about a month, and they called me and said, we've got a club for you. So I invited 10 women to my house. Serve them tea. Big mistake. Serve wine if you're going to do that. Really makes a big difference. And ask them to be brutally honest with me and tear apart my book. And at first they didn't want to do it. And I think the tea was the reason. But eventually they did it. I said, nothing's going to help me unless you do this. And I had my two nieces writing down their answers and taking notes on everything. And they were kind of looking at me like, don't ask any more questions. This is really hard. But at the end, I asked the question, would you recommend this to other readers? And, you know, that's what you ask at the end of focus groups and software. So I thought, I'll ask that question. And they said, oh, yeah, we're already doing that, which was really nice because they felt like champions of the book. So when it actually came out, and I'll tell you that story in one second, we had, I think, 37 book clubs ready to read, which was amazing. That was a first amazing bit of luck. But I tested it with three more book clubs. And then we printed 2,000 copies, and Spirit took it on consignment. And we had hired a company called Kelly and Hall, which was a public relations agency, local one, and they sent, we had created an imprint, because you really, there was a stigma against self-publishing then, and our idea was, as John said, what did you expect? We expected not much to happen, but our idea was that maybe we would publish other local books, and if any of them took off, we could sell them to a larger publisher. And Kelly and Hall submitted the book to Publishers Weekly, and it got a starred review. And we were so unversed in the industry at the time that my husband said, "Is that good?" Because it was a one-star review. And so we thought, are there supposed to be 10? Is it? But it was what you wanted to get. And it kind of slipped through because they didn't do self-published books then. And when that happened, agents started calling. I thought to get me a larger publisher or whatever, but it was Hollywood agents calling to see if they could sell it to the movies. So I had been a failed screenwriter basically, and I called friends in Hollywood. We'd lived out there for a while, who knew people, and asked them to recommend agents or if they knew these agents who were calling. And one of them said, "I don't know any of them. Let me give it to my agency." Who read it said it would make a very interesting screenplay, but who is this little Flapjacket Press, which was our imprint name. And we said, "Oh, that's us." And they groaned and said, "Oh, a self-published book. Oh, darn. Do you mind if we send it back to New York and get you a larger publisher?" So it went to New York and it went out for auction and did incredibly well. And the front page of the Boston Globe had the deal on the front page, and it was quite significant, and which didn't please my publisher because I don't think they wanted to broadcast that they had bought a self-published book at the time again. But I got a 2-book deal, and I'm on my third, and life has been wonderful. And the one difference in what we could do self-publishing and what the big publisher did was the marketing budget. Their marketing machine took over, and it got it onto the New York Times bestseller list pretty quickly, which was wonderful for me. So lightning strikes. I don't know that I recommend doing things the way we did, but there you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Brinonia. My microphone thing just fell off my belt. I'll live. So when I first self-published my first book in 2006, I thought the world would stop and read my book. I thought everybody would want it, and I learned my lesson. I was wrong. I think it might have sold 100 copies. That's who knows. I never kept track. So the second time around, about 5 years later, I had the idea to publish this, Airports of Historic Massachusetts. And I knew it's a pilot's guide to the airports of historic Massachusetts. And what I did is I did a direct mail postcard to a mailing list that I got from the FAA. And I thought, this is going to be a perfect list, perfect target. The sales results, and Meg would probably nod knowingly, that I got a 3% return.
Mailings are kind of the worst.
I didn't know. So what I want to do is segue into retail and marketing, and in a little bit we'll start taking questions because that's what this is all about.
So from a bookseller perspective, he's mentioned mailing. If you send out postcards, they almost immediately go into the trash at bookstores. We get 10 of them every single day. We're seeing a lot of people screaming for our attention. You kind of get one chance to really get our attention. I would avoid mailings. They're not a great way to, get a bookseller. Something that's definitely worth mentioning, marketing of your book should start about 6 months before your book comes out. If you're not already on social media, you really need to be, because that's where you're going to get a lot of your traction. So even before you finish your book, you need to be selling your book to your potential consumer. And again, on a bookstore end, when you come to me with your finished product, I want to see that you already have engagement. It's really vital, like, especially if you want to do an event in my store, are you going to bring me new people? Because this is a symbiotic relationship. I can't have an event roster full of people that have written a book and, you know, aren't hustling their book, you know. So I will support you as much as you're willing to, you know, put the effort out as well. You guys?
In my experience, well, I was direct mailing two pilots around within Massachusetts, nowhere else. And this book is about Massachusetts. It didn't really work, but I didn't stop. And my message is for writers who have an idea: don't give up. Keep going, and do it again, and you'll learn from your mistakes. One of the things that we talked about here, I think Brunonia mentioned, or maybe Meg mentioned, when we met at the start, before this forum, we talked about rookie mistakes, and one of my mistakes was using a direct mail, but I didn't know. I still don't know how to sell a book, so. I'm going to turn it over to Meg or Jim. What have you done to sell your book?
I don't know. First thing I did was to talk to a PR guy I know who has an agency in Boston, and he did a lot of marketing for me. Sent out all kinds of press releases and that sort of thing about me, about what I had done in the past, and about the book and the content of the book, and you know, that sort of thing. People sent out copies along with it, copies which I bought and provided, and it was you know, very little response on that stuff, even though the guy has been doing it for years. So. It seems to me that the hardest part, you can write the world's greatest book and do all the production and spend the money to do the production. You're still faced with a marketing problem at the end. Now, Brunonia told me that she had hired a marketing firm to do it, as she described, and that was apparently a very successful thing for him to do. For her to do it. It's a way to do it. And what did it, you told me what it cost you.
Well, actually, it was a PR firm that we did. And we didn't get much farther than that because it, you know, the review, and it ended up being sold. Yeah. And so the people that really did the marketing were the big company. But one of the things we did was a distribution company. And one of the best marketing schemes we had was they went to Book Expo. And usually if you hire a distribution company, it takes two books to get a deal. So if you're gonna go that way, you want to have two books as an author, I think.
Yeah.
And that we went to the Book Expo, which is, have you ever been to BEA? It's huge. It's either in New York or Chicago, usually, at the convention centers. My distributor, probably because he wasn't paying as much as the big houses, ended up with a room right next to the ladies' room. Well, booth right next to the ladies' room. And my husband gave one of my books to every woman headed into the ladies' room. So that was the best thing we ever
did. Sell to the ladies' room.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the best. And he was out. I have Hank Philippi Ryan is a friend of mine, and she was at the booth next door, and she said, he sold your book. He was out like a carnival barker. And she heard the whole thing, and when I first met her, she said, oh, let me do your husband's spiel, and she told me all about my book. So but that was one of the best things that happened, and that was sort of a fluke, but getting the book in the hands of as many people as we could and as many influencers as we could.
The idea of
that
spending,
was bookstores.
The idea of spending thousands for promotion.
Yeah.
And you never really know what the result is going to be.
Right.
Actually, I was lucky enough to... the PR guy who sent out all the stuff for me on my book didn't charge me anything, just friendship, that's all. But under normal circumstances, I'm sure that would have cost me $1,500, $2,000 more than what I had already spent. And it really wasn't successful.
What we want to talk about here, and we want everyone to leave the room with an idea of what to do next. So I've got here on my syllabus, actions for success. And when Brunonia and I talked, we met in Salem a few weeks ago, and we were talking about some of the actions. One of the things she talked about is producing or writing giveaways, that sort of teasers, or if you have written a novel, and she has, and I have, and well, Jim has too, and there's some facet of a character or some part of a scene that you haven't written about, write a 1,000-word expansion of that and then give it away. So I'm going to let Brunonia talk about that a little more, because I thought it was a really terrific idea, and I haven't done anything about it yet.
Well, in my first book, there was something called The Lace Reader's Guide, and it was a way to see the future in a piece of lace. And so I did a giveaway of the guide, just a small book. Now I would do everything online, but at the time it was a small printed book that I was able to give to readers and to book clubs particularly who were going to read the book, or anyone who requested it. And sometimes when I would go do speaking events, I would give away 3 or 4 copies or 5 copies to people in the audience who might want it. But I think, putting condensed versions, not condensed versions, but small versions up online at our website is something we do. Like, here's a preview of my next book, that kind of thing. So that helps, I think, a lot.
Yeah, right, sure. Website is the key.
Yeah.
It really is, right.
We all know that social media marketing is the way to go, but we're not here to talk about social media marketing because you can get that information elsewhere. But we want to talk about, and we want to get ideas from you all too, about innovative, effective ways to get the word out. So if there are questions, we'll take them.
Does Amazon help at all in promoting your work?
Sort of.
What was the question?
Does Amazon help you promote your book, your work?
On a bookseller end, I know that most people who are independently publishing their book are using CreateSpace. Another viable option is Ingram Spark. It makes a really great product. And if you're looking to be someplace outside of just selling through Amazon, a great way to make friends with your local bookstore is to not use CreateSpace. Because, that leaves you introducing yourself to bookstores through an Amazon link, and that's really, again, not a great way to make friends. But as far as do they promote your book, they'll let you give them money to promote your book. There is an accessibility level through Amazon. It does, on the flip side, remove some of your channels. It makes it harder for bookstores to order in. It's not something, I cannot order a CreateSpace book into my store and keep it on the shelves. It's not available through standard book terms, so it's not appealing on a bookseller level to, deal through those publishing options.
Brunonia, Jim?
I'm sorry.
I didn't have any experience.
Okay. No, I missed the question.
I treat Amazon as a glorified printer and an order fulfillment house. This book, my latest, I wrote, obviously. I hired the book designer. Then I sent a PDF to Amazon. I didn't have to pay Amazon a penny. They're just a glorified printer.
But they also have a huge audience.
do.
And you will have, if you have Amazon print it, then produce it for distribution. You'll be able to have an ebook on Kindle, which has enormous distribution. And I forget the figure that I saw a while back, something over 70% of all the books that are bought in America right now are ebooks. And you can have those produced on Kindle, for no cost to you. It will be there, you will get some percentage of it. I just got check from Amazon the other day on, I think CreateSpace, which is the group printing paperbacks, is giving me about 30% on a $15 sale per book. So, you know, so there is that.
Interesting.
Oh, that is
today
that
I learned.
So, if you couldn't hear that over here, the Amazon, we're told that Amazon doesn't print the books. Ingram actually prints them.
Okay, didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Good information.
The other way to do it is the kind of the hard way or the old-fashioned way, I suppose. As you can get 1,000 copies or 2,000 copies printed and keep them in cartons in your attic.
Right.
That's what we did.
I still have cartons. And they don't go bad.
Right. It's nice.
It works, but it's the hard way. And it takes the joy out of being a writer because you end up having to go to the post office all the time. And to mail. So, next question.
Hi. Hello.
This is only indirectly related to self-publishing, but I wonder, how does Publishers Weekly decide which books to write reviews about? I was actually semi-seriously wondering whether there was some payola involved, because some of the books were really, like, obviously, like, you know, I couldn't see the basis of their of how they decided to review them. So,
Brunonia,
or is that Kirkus?
Kirkus, you pay for.
Kirkus.
Oh, I can't
Kirkus
remember.
Is a $500 fee to get reviewed.
Well, see. Okay, forget it then. Well, then how about Publishers Weekly? How do they decide things?
I think for us, we had hired a PR agency who pushed the book to both Kirkus and Publishers Weekly. And then when I went with a traditional publisher, their PR, promotional people did the same. So we weren't doing that ourselves, and I think it helped. But they do have, at the time, they didn't review self-published books. And luckily, we had an imprint that slid it through somehow. But now they do.
It's my understanding they still don't, but I'm not
okay.
Sure of that. For
okay.
And did you know? You seem to know that. whether publishers... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that Publishers Weekly will not review a self-published book.
Okay.
In Publishers Weekly. I think they have some other outlet for doing it.
I think it's under another name.
Yeah.
I think it can appear online, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll take...
So it's obviously a limitation.
Yes.
We'll take...
You have to have three authors to count.
Ah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, a couple of distributors want to distribute my book, but I say to them, so they'll put it in the stores, and look what it's up against. Hundreds and hundreds of books, political books, which are selling like crazy.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I have a new promo which says, political books will make you sad, my book will make you glad.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
And I'm not sure whether somebody in a bookstore would want that, because I'm basically knocking. I was at Barnes & Noble, and they gave me about 28 books, and I sold them all because Bob Woodward's book came in that day, And I said, it's only going to depress you.
Oh, that's great.
I said, don't even think about it. This book will make you smile. So that worked, but I can't be everywhere.
Yeah, well, that's a good
point. And so I'm thinking, my book's in a store, and so what? You know, what would make somebody go to my book and get a wonderful day? Because that's what people have had when they read my book.
I'll just tell you something from us, and then you take over. But what we found is the distributor did get us into stores all over the country, and we actually had reorders. This is before the big publisher picked us up. But what you find is if you get space in a store, you probably got one or two copies spine out, alphabetically on a shelf somewhere. So how do you distinguish that? We talked a lot about cover design, but also spine design, and I'm going to turn that over to you because that's huge, I think.
So I'm going to borrow your books for a minute. Great cover. But if I spined this book out, it doesn't have the name on the spine, so that's actually a real hindrance on your shelving. It's tough sometimes when they're skinny. The title doesn't fit, but like you want to, before you print your books, getting good bones to your book really matters in how it sells later on. I can't encourage you enough to pay a cover artist. Do not use a picture from your vacation to Malibu in 1987 for the cover of your book. But also do pay attention to the spine because they really, everyone's going to tell you don't judge a book by its cover, but everyone does.
That's true. We tested at Spirit of 76, your sister store.
Yes.
And we went in with different covers that we were trying and put them on the shelf, and they let us. They were really nice.
Yeah.
Just, have people walk around it and see how it went. It took six iterations to get the right cover, and I would say hire a good designer. But now when you do it, you also have to plan for what it's going to look like online. So you've got to do a lot more than we had to do 10 years ago for that. Yeah, so get a professional designer.
So do we have another question?
As a local bookseller, if you discourage us from using CreateSpace, what's the number one alternative you would recommend?
I would use Ingram Spark. We've actually, within our company, we recently released our own edition of Frankenstein. The product has been great. We essentially created our own publishing house. And the product was good. The system it's a little trickier to use than CreateSpace, and there is a setup fee that CreateSpace doesn't have. But it lets you set your own publishing terms. Standard book industry discounts 40 to 46%. If I tried to buy a CreateSpace book through Ingram, I only get a 25% discount when I order it in. But through Ingram Spark, it lets you determine what your discount's going to be, whether we're able to return it to our wholesalers, which is a typical book industry thing that, again, CreateSpace doesn't allow you. It lets me gamble on your book a little bit more than if you showed up with a CreateSpace book that I can't order. It forces me to take you in through consignment rather than just order you a standard stock.
So, next question. Someone over here.
She kind of just answered my question because I was wondering, what service you did actually work for you at Ingram. Because the place that I use, they have an event with Ingram, IFH, and Nielsen, so I'm just wondering.
Ingram is probably the biggest, most frequently used in the country. Baker & Taylor's another, and Bookazine is tiny, but wonderful. The book distributors would be Ingram, Baker & Taylor, and then Bookazine, which is much smaller, but a lot of us use them to fill our backlist if it's something that Ingram's run out of.
So another question. Yes, Faith.
I just want to know what kind of numbers I can be looking at as far as self-publishing. I mean, any kind of a rough budget. And you know, and I can understand spending at first, but do the sales make up at all for your outlay of cash?
That's a good question. And I, from my experience, you better have a real job. And I think many writers will say that.
I was going to say that that applies to traditionally published writers now, too, I think. I would say most have either teach or do something else.
You better have something else to do.
Yeah.
Because, in your experience, the publishers are asking the authors to do all the marketing.
I think we have to do an awful lot of it now ourselves. Certainly social media, you have to get very adept at that. Although lately, when my last book came out, they said, do everything. And now they're saying, do the ones you're the best at. Pick one or two and just do that. But in terms of, they don't do book tours the way they used to. So you have to come up with ways. You have about, I think, for traditional publishing, you have about 6 weeks of them focusing on your book. But in the last tour after it comes out. So you're on your own.
That's not a lot of time.
No.
And to answer your question, Faith, when I, it didn't cost me anything to write this, and I didn't have to do any traveling to research it. The design and production cost was about, editing, design, and production, I probably paid $1,500 for all of that. And then when I'm done, when my designer was done, I sent the PDF to CreateSpace, and presto, I had a book. Next question.
Yes, I'm interested in publishing a nonfiction book that has a specific niche, and could you advise me more on that?
I would say something about non-publishing. I think if you're doing nonfiction, you have the best chance because you can have a platform and you can market specifically to those interested in what you're writing about. I think it's easier than fiction, that, from what I hear.
Would you recommend a marketing company?
I didn't use a marketing company, but I had a PR company, which was Kellyanne Hall, and they were local. I haven't worked with them for a while, so I don't know what they're doing now. But yeah, agents are tricky. My agent doesn't even read my stuff now. I mean, no, it's not true, but I have to send her candy to get her to read my books. No, that's not really true, but it takes a while. They're so busy with so many clients that it's hard. My old agent, who unfortunately quit the business, would read books that friends of mine had written, and I could submit, but I haven't run into that for a while.
But is an agent's name that you would recommend?
Well, I'm with WME, but my agent doesn't read, so she doesn't read new authors. She eventually reads my work. WME is my agency.
William Morris.
Yeah.
Oh, William Morris. Good. William Morris. For Benonia. Suppose I've got my book all put together and I go to my local bookstore and I get the book club or local book clubs all excited, and I go to the bookstores in the local towns and I have a distributor. So then who takes up after that? I mean, I can't go to all the bookstores in the country and try to find their book clubs.
And that's where I think PR will help. I think you need a PR company working with you at that point to try to get, you want to do sort of a blog tour, or you're going to end up writing as much for free as you did for your novel, I think. I did blog and radio, which is what my PR agency got me. So a radio tour, you'd be talking to, you know, one city one minute, and 15 minutes later you're in another city. You do it from your house. That was helpful. A blog tour, where you write free articles for different blogs and different sites. And those are the things that I think work the best. But I think a PR company to get you into traditional get you reviewed by traditional media if you can. They don't do, yeah, I review for Washington Post occasionally now, but what, the only reason I say that is that they're not, they don't have the number of reviewers anymore. They go out to regular authors. And I think a lot of places have dropped their reviewing sections and just, so right. So it's harder to get reviewed. But I think if you can get do things online and, once again, give away content, come up with interesting stories, either about writing or about the topic that you're writing about or just some bit of something interesting.
It's funny, there are really three entirely different processes that you have to go through. The writing, editing part of it is one entirely different thing from the managing of the production. And then finally, all this marketing stuff, which is a whole new area of work that you have to do.
Okay, so Patrick, over here.
Jim, you mentioned that you had someone, I think you said, from Virginia that did the whole package for you. And
yeah.
With the popularity of self-publishing, I would imagine that a cottage industry has emerged.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing. Could
you mentioned that you had a company in Virginia for $2,000 do the whole package for you.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining that a cottage industry has developed for folks who are interested in self-publishing. Do any of you have a local recommendation for someone who would help you from cover design and everything else required of the process?
I'm sorry, I missed
that. So what I what I did, to answer Patrick's question.
I didn't hear the question. Just tell me what
do you have a recommendation for a local?
A local, oh no. It really doesn't matter if you're using email for everything anyway. I mean, it's local is your office.
Locally that we could go to sit and meet with face-to-face.
You can do that just as well on the phone.
I do. The woman who designed this, I met with her face-to-face at a Panera Bread in Manchester, New Hampshire. That's pretty local.
But is that someone that does all of the other work that's required for self-publishing?
No, she does the interior design and the book cover. But she doesn't do whatever, all the other stuff that she doesn't do the marketing or any publicity or anything.
I didn't feel that I needed to be face-to-face with the guy was very helpful. We were back and forth talking through the whole process. Took him about 3 months to do it, and we're on the phone together a lot, email back and forth, texting a lot. And I really never felt distant from the guy at all.
If you're relatively local, I would reach out to Funded Publications. They are an indie publisher out of Salem. And if they can't help you, which they may in like the first or second quarter of the year, they won't, they're too busy in the second half of the year, they can definitely direct you to some other local resources. Funded. They do horror anthologies based out of Salem, and they're wonderful.
That's D-E-A-D, or Funded?
Funded, F-U-N-D-E-A-D.
Okay.
Funded, oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Of course they're from Salem. Yeah.
Okay, so Faith,
another question. I have another question. So I just want to know, as John knows, we actually met in Cairo, by the way, and I'm not making this up. I've traveled a lot, and I just want to know, I've heard that like maybe the best way to get me started, because all my friends ask for me to write up all my travel anecdotes, and I've heard that maybe starting a blog, is that
yes.
the best way to get an entry?
For something like that, I'd blog. Lisa Sugarman of Marblehead did something similar where she wrote a great blog, had a great following, and then combined some of her best into a short novel, essentially, or an essay collection. And if you're blogging and you get a following, you can monetize it, and it'll probably make you just as much money than putting a book out, because you won't have to buy an ISBN or get it printed.
Okay, but what about things that happen? Because, like, for example, I was in Berlin when the Berlin Wall came down, and, you know, I was in Prague when the country split apart. So these are things that happened in the past.
That's fine.
Can I still talk about that?
Anything that lets them get to know you, too, as an author, people want to know about, I think.
Going back to answering the question about how to find these other services, you can join something like IPNI. They've got a booth out there. Independent Publishers of New England, of course, they want you to join. The Editorial Freelance Association, again, they've got a booth out there. I sort of actually found out about them today. That they're more than just editorial services. But basically, you're going to look for freelance people, and those are two ways that you can get in touch with these freelancers.
Those are good. And I would also recommend joining the Authors Guild. You can join for $150, and they have great seminars on social media, marketing, and they have access to databases of people and services as well. The Authors Guild, it's open to anyone now who wants to join. So, and they also do contract, they'll advise you on contracts, too, before you get involved with someone you might not like.
So Molly here has a question.
Hi. Sorry, I stepped in a little later, so I don't know if you've already addressed this. I had questions about how much control you have on the manufacturing side, like how much, if you can control the paper stock that's used and the board and all that kind of stuff.
Through Ingram?
Through,
or in general?
Yeah, like how does it work in self-publishing? How much control do you have?
I know through Ingram you can control your paperweight to an extent. You can do hardcover or paperback. There's gloss finish, there's matte finish. You have a fair amount of say in the layout of your book.
In my experience with CreateSpace, who printed this? I published it. I didn't ask, but you can specify the trim size, and the trim size is, you can specify the color of the stock. I don't know about the thickness of the paper, but it'd be worth inquiring.
Can we get to this nice fellow in the 311 hat? He's been trying this entire time we've been talking.
Where's he sitting?
Particularly in regard to nonfiction, what kind of costs could you expect to incur in consulting legal advisors regarding like fair use or clearing licensing for images in self-publishing as opposed to traditional publishing?
I didn't quite hear that.
Could you repeat it? We only got about half of that.
In particularly for nonfiction, what kind of costs might you expect to incur and consulting legal advice for clearing image use or what fair use might be for images as opposed to if you were traditionally publishing?
I have no idea.
I don't know that.
So in my most recent book, the Horizons and Runways, there's one stock photo in there. And I did the right thing and I contacted the photographer and he let me use it for free. I don't know if that's much help, but as a self-publisher, realize that your budget is limited and find good
deals. One more?
Deals.
This one's the last. I guess we've got time for one more. The red sign went up in the back.
One more question. Anyone?
Hi.
The person behind the chimney.
Yeah. Oh, can we... my question was, I'm often told that poets, no one wants to publish poetry, so what are some of your tips in order for poets to be published? Should we throw some pictures in there? Do we have to perform at your stores? How do we get published and picked up at bookstores?
Something that's really interesting about poetry right now, The Sun and Her Flowers made poetry really, really cool for like 19 to 25-year-old young women. So if you just hurl that stuff at social media, you're going to catch the people that you want. But yeah, and again, when you're publishing, something that I'd advise before you even print your book, before you really get into it, is go and do market research. Look at what's being traditionally published. And the big five are paying a lot of money to their design teams. steal their knowledge. Look at what a book looks like in the genre you want to publish in and design that book.
So we have time for one last one. Here it is.
Okay, this is not a question, but there's an author at this event who is always kind to me, and I said I'm going to pay it forward. So I'm going to share just a couple tips that I've just encountered. I can't tell you the results because this is my first book coming out. But my understanding is that CreateSpace is no more. They're not accepting new accounts, but you can self-publish through Amazon by going through their, is it KDP, their Kindle program. However, my understanding is that that becomes an exclusive Kindle arrangement with them, and I've been cautioned against it. I don't know if that's true, but it was brought to my attention. There's a great company called Publish Drive. It's an online platform, no money up front. This comes through my agent, so it's reputable. They've been very responsive. They will take your files. You just need a Mobi, a EPUB, a PDF cover, and push it to Kindle and literally just about any outlet that handles digital, any e-editions, any Kindle. They take 10%. And so far, they've been very service-minded, easy to upload, intuitive interface, and they've just gotten a ton of funding. I believe they're headquartered in New York now. And I have no affiliation, so it's not a sales pitch.
My advice for anyone who, any writer who wants to make it big, is to keep writing and make sure you write, as Jim says, write the best book you possibly can. And you will love it. And as you love it, everyone else will too. So keep on going. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.